In this week's Nutrition and Life episode, I speak with Team BioLane coach David Mathis. David and I speak about how to be the best coach you can be and what it means to be coachable as a client. I'm excited for you to listen to my conversation with David. And please, if you enjoy the show, subscribe and give us a rating or take a screenshot and share the episode on your social media. Thank you so much. Now, without further ado, on to my conversation with David. Hello and welcome back to the Nutrition and Life podcast. My name is Lisa, I'm your host, and today I have the pleasure of speaking with Team BioLane coach David Mathis. David, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Really appreciate you reaching out.
Yeah, I'm super excited to talk about all things sustainable weight loss or fat loss, better said. But before we do, I would love to hear a little bit about you, about your background, how you got to where you are today.
Yeah, long journey. I was an Army combat medic, served a tour over in Iraq in 2010 and 11. When I got out of the Army, I had already gone in with my bachelor's, but it wasn't in nutrition or exercise science or anything like that. However, I was a certified personal trainer and knew that I wanted to go back to school to get into nutrition and training a little bit more and go back for my master's. So I used the GI Bill and went back and did my prereqs and applied for a master's program at University of South Florida, which at the time I was living just over the bridge in St. Petersburg, Florida from Tampa. So it was right in my backyard, and it just happened to be with one of the top five programs in the nation for physique enhancement and research and stuff. And I got to really learn a lot and be mentored by the great Dr. Bill Campbell. And, my first year in the program was Dr. Sam Buckner's first year teaching in the program. Got to be close with him and learned a lot about, muscle hypertrophy and strength from him. And I also met Lane during that time in 2017. Now, I've been following Lane for a long time, but got that introduction from Dr. Campbell, and just kind of was like, hey, I want to do what you're doing. Like, that's what I'm striving to do. Can I buy you a beer? Can we talk a little bit? And he's like, yeah, sure. And he said, why don't you come over to the house tomorrow and we'll talk a little bit. And I left there, being his, accepting a position as like an intern, mentorship type thing, where he taught me not only about coaching clients and, going through case studies and stuff and watching him coach his clients, but also the business aspect of coaching, which was super valuable. And, I started taking on clients with him, took on some for free to start with, just to kind of prove myself. And then, started taking on more and more. And we got to a point where him and I were, we were busy, and there was still more inquiries coming in. And so we started bringing on coaches, and that's how Team BioLane started. So I've been there for almost 8 years now. It's going great. I mean, we've got a tremendous team, and we've been through a lot of, ups and downs over the years in terms of integrating new systems and really perfecting our craft. And we're really happy about where we're at right now with our systems and coaching clients and our coaches. So
there's so many things I love about all of that. So first of all, I love that you simply reached out and you said, how can I learn from you? How can I add value to you? You were not thinking, Bill or Lane or whatever, give me a job where I earn five figures every month and blah, blah. You were like, I'm happy to work for nothing for a little bit. I just want to learn. I just want to learn from the best, really, and be surrounded by the best, which makes such a big difference already also.
Yeah, I did a whole year for free. And I drove literally from where I was living to where he was living was an hour one way. So I did that, drove 2 hours a day, 5 days a week, for a year for free, for the experience, for the opportunity, for the education. Because I knew this is what I wanted to do. And there's no better person to learn from and be mentored from than Lane. And it's been invaluable. And he's a very important part of my life.
That is so cool, and I just want to encourage everyone who's listening to like really pick up on this if they have an inspiration or a desire to do something that, yeah, while it might be a little bit of a financial strain or time strain or whatever, initially, in the long run, things like this pay off so much. And I mean, what a wonderful gesture as well from Lane and Bill and so on to help you, many, many people in the industry or many people that we think are light years ahead of us. They're actually really, well, number one, kind people, and number two, very happy to help and to help yeah, bring you up and educate and so on. Of course, you need to bring something to the table as well, which is exactly what you did. You brought your time, you volunteered, you spent many hours probably also doing tedious things, not just the pretty shiny things. So super, super cool. I'm very interested in hearing a little bit about that time. What was some of the main surprising things, I guess, to you that you learned during that time? Not necessarily in regards to anything exercise or nutrition science-wise, but even just in the sense of operation.
So that was a really interesting time because Lane was at a very low point in his life, professionally and personally. And I'm not speaking on anything he hasn't spoke on, so I'm not going to go in depth with that. But it was a rough time, and I came on during that time, and I think he's seen and feels that loyalty that I have, because I didn't come on when he was at his top. I came on then, and was really able to form a pretty close relationship with him and really learn about the business aspect in terms of onboarding clients, invoicing, keeping those records, reaching out to potential clients and keeping that interaction going. I also many people know Lane has a bunch of books that he's written, right? Contest Prep Guide, Fat Loss Forever, Reverse Dieting Guide. When we started that, the whole Contest Prep Guide was kind of like a last minute thing. It was kind of a time where he was going into the winter, and he just wrote for like 6 straight weeks. He got that book done pretty quick. Now with Lane, it's everything's up here. It's brilliant. It's not that hard to do, but to write a book like that and get references and studies to put in there to back up everything, took a lot of work. And so part of actually what I did on the side was help get that book published and get it onto Amazon and work with the distributors and all that stuff, which was really cool because then, in 2020, I wrote my own book. And so it was nice to kind of already have a little bit of that knowledge and experience. And then, I was also like an administrative assistant for him. So I was booking things for him. I was keeping his schedule. I was, coordinating meetings and everything like that, all which, you think of at the time, like, how is that going to benefit my coaching? But I mean, when you have as many clients as I have right now, it's important to stay organized and make sure that you're providing the utmost quality to them still. And all of those skills, bookkeeping, reaching out to clients, following up with clients, scheduling, organization has helped me tremendously. So, a lot of those things have carried over and still carry over to this day.
That's so wonderful. And I mean, it speaks really right to my heart because when I finished my degree in exercise science and in nutrition, I was like, what do I even do with this? I don't really want to go really into the research. I definitely don't want to be a personal trainer on the floor. I just knew that I wanted to be a little bit more flexible and so on. And I didn't want to become a PE teacher or whatever. And so I actually worked for Cody McBroom at Tailored Coaching Method. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the company for 2.5 years, and it was amazing. I learned so much from Cody. I honestly owe him so much, just in the sense of even just leadership and guidance and having a mentor. And I knew at that time I wasn't ready to just go out and build my own business. Some people might be more entrepreneurial. I did really at that time love just learning and really wanted to focus on becoming the best possible coach I could be, instead of having to worry about, oh, client acquisition and all that kind of stuff at the time.
Yeah, there's one thing I left out about that I learned from Lane during that time, and still to this day. I mean, I'll bounce ideas off of him and ask questions, and I've been doing this a long time, and I've coached a lot of clients, and I've seen every different scenario. But sometimes it's good to have a different perspective. But one thing that Lane really helped me with at the beginning was the coaching is an art. It's an art and a science, right? Now, you can teach a monkey how to change numbers. That's not hard. That's not coaching either. Okay. So what he helped teach me was I've always been a good communicator. That's always been a strength of mine. I had two parents who were entrepreneurs and salesmen. Like it's just always kind of been in my nature, and I'm a very talkative person anyways. But he taught me how to deal with the psychology of a client and different scenarios and stuff, because honestly, 90% of what I do is dealing with the psychology, dealing with habit changing, dealing with lifestyles, dealing with phobias, dealing with negative body image, things like that. The numbers, because of our system and the amount of data I have my clients keep, it doesn't really, it's not really hard for me to make the right move from a calculation standpoint. However, you have to take into account the individual's life, what's going on, their stress levels, are we progressing at a rate in which they can tolerate and sustain? There's hundreds of factors that can come into play, right? Then you start dealing with like women and menstrual cycles and how that affects their weight. And you start dealing with men with low testosterone and high body fat and how we deal with that. And dieting history, and especially once you get into the populations of about 55 or older, they have a whole life of like when they were younger, fitness was not a big part of their life. And like some of them with women, like they can remember their mothers talking negatively about their body and stuff. So there's so much that goes into it. And by no means am I a licensed therapist, right? But you have to have empathy with accountability. And that's kind of the big thing that we preach, with Team BioLane is like, we want to treat you like an N of one. You are an individual, you have a unique situation, but there still has to be accountability. There's understanding, and then there's accountability, and there's got to be that effort to be coachable to be able to get out of that rut, right? And so understanding, you can't talk to every client the same way. You can't. I won't say my number of clients, but I have to talk to every single one of them in a different way, right? And from a message receiving standpoint, I should say, some people I can get, I can use my military background and I can get on and they want that. Some people I have to be a little softer with my messaging, but that doesn't change the messaging. That doesn't change the direction and the coachability of it, right? So that was a huge thing for me to learn. And you really cannot learn that unless you do it. Like you can't just like take a course on how to communicate with people because everybody is completely different. And I probably at this point in my life, I'd have to go back and look. I've probably coached 800 to 1,000 clients. And maybe a handful of them are kind of similar in some ways, but almost everybody's a different case study. And I love that because it allows me to grow as a coach and it allows me to grow as a communicator, even outside of this profession and dealing with people as well. So.
Yeah, that's so cool. I think it goes both ways, right? Like we grow as a coach and it helps us outside, and yeah, definitely from the outside in as well. But it's so amazing that you also had that wonderful guidance through Lane, who probably every now and then pointed at like, oh, maybe you should have done that or could have done that even better or even differently. Because I think as new as we start out being a coach, it often actually comes back to wanting to give maybe too much almost, when you're like, here is the perfect plan. This is 100% who that what will get you to your goal as quickly as possible. And this is ideal according to the science. I learned it all. And there you go. And then that person's like, so broccoli is good for you? And you're like, okay, I have to start way somewhere different. But you think you're almost overgiving
Yeah.
from a loving place, but learning to hold back on that is actually so valuable.
And I've actually, it's so great you brought that up because I've actually kind of changed my approach as I've gained experience and gotten older and more veteran in my coaching is that I used to do that. I used to like, this is the perfect, like you just follow it. Like you gotta do it, right? That doesn't teach anybody anything. It doesn't. And part of what I do and part of what we do as a team is we really want to teach you as, you know, you're not going to go through, we're not going through a physiology class or a, you know, biochemistry class or anything, but I want to teach you what's going on with your body. Like during my video feedback check from the check-ins, like I'm going over the data, I'm explaining like what I think's happening and trying to get them educated. And I tell everybody right off the bat, there is no perfect plan. If you're here looking for a perfect plan, it doesn't exist. But at the same time, it does exist. And what I mean by that is that we need to find the perfect plan for you, right? I can lay out something based on the evidence and the science, but guess what? All of that is based on averages. All data and research is based on averages, right? So, you know, maybe you're an outlier either way. You know, probably not. But however, you still have different factors in your life that might make this route a little bit more difficult. So instead of trying to be perfect and only achieving 50%, why don't we take a different route where you might be able to achieve 80 to 90%, even though it may be slightly off from what the research says, right? Because at the end of the day, you know, nutrition is not rocket science. Training is not rocket science. You need to make sure you're taking in adequate calories for whatever goal it is. You know, muscle building, maintenance, fat loss. We need to make sure that you're hydrating properly. We need to make sure that you're getting enough protein for your body needs. Carbs and fats, mix and match how you want. Like, don't stress yourself over that. If you eat foods, tend to like foods that are a little bit higher fat, that's fine. I mean, don't like go for a bunch of trans fat stuff, right? But lower your carbs a little bit. Or if you're someone who likes pastas and rice and bread and all that stuff, go higher in carbs and lower on fat to an extent. But we try to break it down to help people understand that this isn't rocket science. Like you're making it harder because you're overthinking things, and it's not even their fault. It's society's fault, right? Just you're not losing weight, keep going lower in calories. Okay, well, what about your metabolic rate? What's going to happen with that eventually? It's going to adapt and you are going to kind of be at this very low end, right? Or you want to build muscle, just eat everything in sight. Okay, well, yeah, if that's paired with proper training intensity, proper training volume, proper rest and recovery. But even there, that's not the right approach because you're going to gain a bigger percentage of body fat than you are muscle. And so, really kind of breaking things down for people and understanding, like, listen, this is not going to happen overnight, and we're going to be making tweaks along the way. This starting first week plan, it's going to change depending on how you're progressing, right? And what we figure out as far as what obstacles you're running into, what things we need to work on, challenges, vacations, holidays, you name it. So my advice to people when they think they want to get into online coaching is this is not an easy job. You have to take it seriously. You have to be invested in your clients because their health is literally in your hands. Like you are responsible for their health and you have to be ethical. You have to be in this to want to help people. If you're just in this to make money, like, is there great money in it? Absolutely. But if you're good and if people can trust you and you get results and you have that proven track record, right? But that can't be the main priority. Helping people better their lives, better their health, better their physiques, better their relationship with food, that's got to be the number one point. And that's what myself, that's what I got into coaching for. That's what we look for in coaches that we bring onto our team. I basically, because of my seniority and my leadership on the team, I basically have an interview aside from the management with every coach that comes on to make sure that they're going to be a good fit because there's a lot of great opportunity and a lot of great responsibility working for this brand. And we don't take that lightly. So.
I think that's so cool. And thank you for laying out, well, number one, the foundations for the clients in the sense of calories and everything else, but also just your recommendations for other coaches, because we do have both sort of people listening as well. So I think that's really great. And again, also on both sides, you mentioned the coachability, which I think is really, really important. Coachability in the sense of being open to whatever your coach gives you, not saying to just take on everything blindly, definitely asking questions. I think one of the most beautiful things that people can do when they're committing to coaching is asking tons of questions, like, okay, why are we changing it? And in reality, your coach should tell you why they're making adjustments and so on. But nonetheless, there might be some questions occurring, like, could it be that my weight went up the last couple of days because I ate out more, or is that actually fat gain? Like, if you ask your coach that, and then they can explain, no, this is what probably happens when we eat more sodium, or blah blah blah. But at the same time, that coach that is so in tune really with the type of communication and the pace that the client needs. I have the pleasure of working with three wonderful ladies, and all three of them were my clients initially. I too thought to myself, technically anyone can learn. Of course, it's important to be certified to have your
For sure.
education and so on. Yes, absolutely. But what's much more important, or what was more important to me over the course of the time that they were my clients, was that I saw their consistency, their coachability, their communication style. And so I thought, this is much more important to me than if I have someone who has a degree in God knows what in terms of nutrition, but they're full on for 5 weeks and then I don't hear from them for 2 weeks and then they are unreliable and they don't know how to communicate. So yeah, I like that you're vetting your coaches well, and I'm sure you also try to get a feel for their personality that they
100%.
match the Team BioLane philosophy.
Yeah, because I mean, we are all individuals. We are all, in a sense, independent contractors, right? And it's not necessarily a team in the normal sense, as far as like my success does not necessarily mean success for somebody else and vice versa. However, we're creating a culture and we do help each other in terms of, I mean, even to this day, like I'll ask another coach like a question if it's not in my area of specialty, and vice versa. Coaches come to me all the time and asking me, and I'm helping some new coaches that we just brought on recently with, different things, not even related to coaching per se, but like social media and organization and, things along those lines and stuff. So I would just tell anybody that if you're thinking about going into coaching, find a mentor. Find a mentor that is doing things the right way, that you feel is doing things the right way. And going back to something you brought up as far as what I said at the very beginning is you first of all, you can't be afraid of hearing no. Like, ask. The worst case scenario is they say no. They're not gonna belittle you for asking, right? I mean, they're probably gonna be very impressed. Now, if they bring you on or not, there's a lot of factors why that they may or may not be. But also, you have to present what you can offer to them. Like, that's what I think really got my foot in the door with Lane, is that I was offering time, no financial commitment, eagerness to learn, helping him out with anything. I didn't say there was anything off limits. I mean, the things I even did for him on a personal, in his personal life, right? Like, the thing is like, these people that are successful and at the places where you want to be, they don't necessarily need you. But if there's something that you have a good skill in or something that could potentially free up a little bit more time for them, they need to know what you're willing to do for them in order for them to invest time back. I mean, for example, I work well over 12 hours a day. Like, I don't have a whole lot of time. So if I'm going to bring someone on as a mentor, right? Like, I want to mentor the next generation, and I've actually kind of got some plans on some things in the future for that. but it has to be worth me potentially giving up a little bit of time, which is also money, right? And so you got to think of it from that standpoint. It's not always that people are not willing to bring you on and want to help. It's just like literally you get to a point in your career where time is valuable, time is money, and you've got to be able to offer something to somebody, not just ask them for something.
Absolutely. And I think because of the advancement of the industry as well, and because it has gotten a bit more saturated, I think even quote unquote just offering your time nowadays is often not enough anymore, depending on who you want to mentor with. But because of that, I often say the next best thing that anyone wanting that sort of mentorship is do well. Nowadays we have actual paid mentorship programs, so I mean that's of course one thing, but the other thing would even just
That's
be
great. I never had that growing up. Even when I mean, I'm 40 now. So even when I was in college, like in the early 2000s, 2003 to 2007, I did internships every summer for free. There was no such thing as a paid internship at that point. So sorry,
Yeah,
go ahead.
no, absolutely. I think that again shows just your willingness to learn, and that's absolutely beautiful. But yeah, often I even I have had people inquire about potentially like working with me or whatever as a coach, and they have never even had their own nutrition coach before. And so I say, okay, well, the next best thing to offering free time would be to actually like invest in having your own nutrition coach, even if you hypothetically quote unquote know what you're doing. I mean, you know what you're doing. Elaine knows what he's doing, obviously, but he still has coaches. He still has like I still have coaches for things. And so that's, I think, is another way to just A, put yourself out there and learn from others in the industry too, because every coach might work a little bit differently and you're
Yes.
taking something away from them.
Yeah, the number of coaches that I've coached over the years would probably be staggering to people because you think like, well, why is a coach going to another coach? For that exact reason is that like you want to grow. I've worked with many coaches in the past and I've taken things that I've liked and thrown away things I didn't like about them in order to kind of shape my coaching style these days. And it's really important because coaching is a relationship business too. So you could go to the best coach on the planet, right? And they might not be the right fit for you. Listen, I've had clients that have decided like, hey, listen, we're just not a good fit, and I'm gonna go, fine, that's cool. Like, I appreciate you giving me a chance. I'm not offended by it. I used to get offended by it. I'm not offended by it. I understand, and I'm sorry that this didn't work out, but I wish you well in finding a coach that is going to work for you. That happens to everybody once you get to this level, and it's not, as long as you know that you were putting the effort in, right? It's nothing to take personally per se, but you have to know that this is a personality business, and just like not everybody's your cup of tea, you're not going to be everybody's cup of tea. So be honest, be upfront. What you put on social media, portray it as you, actually you. Don't try to put on an act, don't try to be somebody you're not. Clients will see through it, and clients don't pick coaches necessarily because of education or any of that. I mean, that stuff's important, right? Clients want to connect. They want to connect with you, and they want to feel like they can trust you. They want to feel like you understand their situation, or that you've been in their situation, and that you're going to empathize yet be holding them accountable for change, right? So I always tell people, I don't have a million followers. I don't have 100,000 followers. I have 22,000 followers, and I make a very good living off of that because I have true followers and they know who I am. They know that they're going to get what they see and that I'm going to give it to them honestly, and that I actually care about their progress. They're not just another number. So those are the more important traits than how many degrees you have or how many, certifications you have or anything like that. That, along with social proof, proof that you can do the job, is what is going to ultimately draw a client into them.
Yeah, I th think that's so well said. And on top of that, like when people ask, how can I get more clients or whatever, exactly as you say, try to serve the customers that you already have or the clients that you already have as best as possible. Because I think in our industry, nothing weighs as much as word of mouth or recommendation. Like, I mean, yes, social proof, I had before and after pictures, blah, 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 that goes a long way. But if you have someone who's like, A showing results and people are going to be like, whoa, I haven't seen you in 3 months. You look incredible. What have you done? And then they're like, well, actually, let me tell you, David is amazing. He's coaching me this and that way. And I still feel like I'm living life. And that really, really goes a long way. And sometimes I think as coaches, when we feel a little bit of lack, because I mean, that's in any kind of industry, there's going to be ups and downs where we have more people coming in or less. And when there's a little bit of that slower time, we panic and we're like, oh, should I run ads? Should I do this? Am I doing something wrong? No, just try and focus on the people that you do have and be grateful for every single one of them.
Yeah, another thing that I picked up early on from Lane and is that a client retained is better than a new client. And what he means by that is that, well, first of all, it shows that you're doing a good job and that you've built a good relationship, right? Second of all, it's going to help in perhaps introduce that word of mouth to somebody else, right, down the road. And thirdly, it's like you already did all the hard work onboarding them and getting to know them. And it's not like you're having to start all over and developing those relationships and keeping those clients on. I mean, I've coached many clients for 3 and 4 years before. I typically work with someone from, about 9 months to a year and a half is like a typical time period. But I've worked with clients for years before, and it's because of those relationships. And retaining a client means a lot more about who you are as a coach than getting a new one in.
Definitely. And if they ever need your help again in 3, 4, 5 years' time after they've had their second baby,
And
whatever,
that
they'll be
too,
right
they've come
back
back.
there. Yeah. So I love that. I do want to go into something that you mentioned earlier. And I mean, there's people listening that are not coaches as well, but you mentioned generally being organized, having a plan, and being strategic about things. And maybe you can give some of your personal tools, how you live an organized life, whether that's your meal prep and your training, or whether that's your clients. I'll let you pick how you want to take this.
We're gonna start with this. Well, first of all, and this is what I use with a lot of my clients too that have organizational problems, is I do a three-tiered approach. So tier one is the most important things that you have to get done that are your top priority, right? Work is probably gonna be one of those, right? Family time, and then hopefully gym and fitness in there, right? And I have them go into their calendar and color code it. Okay. And log it every single day. Set aside time for that every single day, or at least know that you have to get this done today, right? And then there's a tier two. Okay, if you finish all of that, then what would you like to get done? And you color code that. And then you go to tier three would be like, oh, I really want to catch up on that Netflix series at night. You color code that. So you put in the things that are priorities to you first. You block those off. So that really helps me. That really helps a lot of people that I work with in terms of visually seeing, okay, this is what I got to do today. Now, ultimately, it's going to be on them to have the discipline to actually do it, but visually seeing something sets you up for better success, right? You can't deny it. It's there. It's on your calendar. You can't deny it. In terms of like meal prepping and stuff, I tend to cook a lot of stuff in bulk. And just kind of keep it in the refrigerator. Now, I don't have to like separate meals out or anything like that because I just got the convenience of going upstairs and putting together what I want to put together. But if it's for you that you need to put meals together for 3 or 4 days in glass Tupperware things or whatever it is, do it. let's work on that. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I fully believe in a flexible dieting lifestyle, but that doesn't mean that there can't be some meal prep and meal planning in there as well. Doesn't have to be all or nothing. And from a professional standpoint, one of the best things that I started doing a couple of years ago was I signed up and invested in a Calendly account where, I don't have to go back and forth with people as far as, okay, does this time work for you? Does this time work for you? Does this time? It's connected to my calendar. If I have something during that time doesn't show up. It's available, right? So it takes a lot of this back and forth, frustration. And it helps keep me organized because I can see, okay, what am I going to have tomorrow? What do I have the next day? What do I have the next day? And also in my personal life, it allows me to see where I can fit in things like doctor's appointments, or do I need to cancel and block off some time because my daughter's got something at school that I need to be at? So those things have really helped a lot. And also just developing the mindset that, like, listen, this is what I do. This is who I am. This is my lifestyle. Like, going to the gym is not a luxury. It's who I am. It's what I do. Now, there is a fine line there too, because, like, it can't be your whole life, but it can be a part of your lifestyle. And just understand, like, hey, it might take a little while before you get out of that mindset of, like, oh man, like, I gotta get the gym in today. It'll eventually get to, man, I'm going to the gym today. It's gonna be a great day. Like, this is gonna be part of my day every day, 4 or 5 days a week, right? Whatever it is that you're on and stuff. So those are some things that I kind of go through personally and with other clients that I work with and as well.
Yeah, that's really cool. I think the whole identity part, this is the kind of person that I am, the person that goes to the gym, the person that has meals prepared. It doesn't have to be 20 ingredient meals. It can just be like I'm bulk prepping 2, 3 protein sources, 2, 3 carb sources, and mixing and matching how I like with some nice condiments and so on. Yeah, that's
Pretty
perfect.
much the same thing on a daily basis. And I save my flexibility for, like, the weekends and going out and stuff. Like, I also like to eat the things I like to eat, and I fit them into my daily calorie intake and stuff, and it's great. And it's not like I'm being forced to eat anything. However, that works for me because I have a very busy schedule and I don't have to think about it. It's just one less thing. But I also have those skills and the ability to be flexible when need be. So that's why I always tell people it doesn't have to be just meal planning or just flexible dieting. Like, pick a couple meals during the day that you just absolutely enjoy and you know you're going to have 2 or 3 meals. Maybe you're eating 5 meals a day, right? 2 to 3 meals, go ahead and log that already so that you know what calories you have remaining for the final couple meals. And then you could be flexible with that.
Yeah, that's super cool. That whole planning and preparation really goes such a long way. And that kind of takes me to one of the things that you said earlier about the calendar. I really love that. I think not enough people even just time track for a couple of days. Sometimes we're like, where did the day go? I don't know. I haven't really achieved anything and the day is gone. Well, that's because we don't realize we're like wasting 30 minutes here with just chatting around. Then here you're driving for 2.5 hours all in all over the course of the day because here 20 minutes, 30 minutes there, and so on. So people feel like their time has quote unquote run away, and it's just kind of like inefficient. And so if you spend like a couple of days tracking what you're actually doing throughout the day and then following that, creating those time blocks that you spoke about so beautifully, especially I like the hierarchy of the three different things. And that's such a great thing because we really should look at our well, sleep, at our training and everything like really important things that need to be, if it's supposed to be a priority, it should be kind of in your schedule or at least on your mind. Okay, if I want to sleep 8 hours, I need to be in bed by 10 o'clock or whatever it is.
Well, another thing that I just thought of that I do with myself and with others is that, let's say somebody has got an extremely busy day and, like, they just go through and they're like, I just sometimes forget to eat, right? And then I get to the end of the day and I've got 2,000 calories I got to get in, right? So I don't do it for food for me, but I do it for other things where I will put in alerts and reminders to pop up at certain points during the day. Like, I'll do it with clients. I'll have clients put in, like, okay, at this time, like have an alert go off and say, are you hungry? Do you need to eat? Because once again, that visual reminder, it's so easy for us to get lost in what's going on in the day and put things aside. When you get stressed, it messes with your hunger cues and stuff. So having those little reminders, I mean, for me, a lot of it is like, take a deep breath, relax, slow down. Like, you know, there's so many different ones, but it can work for anything. It can work for any sort of reminder or, you know, habit that you're trying to implement into your life. So.
Yeah, and I think to a lot of people, the whole quote unquote mindfulness movement sounds too woohoo. But if in essence, that's exactly what you're doing, right? Like that having a reminder is bringing awareness to the present moment. Like, oh, holy crap, it's already 12:30. I have only eaten the protein bars today. So, and then brings you in the moment, and then you're acting on that.
Well, and I tell people too, like, okay, if they think that's weird or like, oh man, I'm like, okay, but how's that different than setting an alarm clock for on your phone to wake up to? It's a reminder that you need to wake up, right? So I do a lot of reframing with my clients, and I find that that's extremely important. Like, probably one of the more important things, because you can't do anything else unless you've reframed the way you're thinking about it. So we want to, you know, increase energy expenditure. Okay, well, let's not look at it like it's this like hindrance to our life or that it's going to be awful. Like, all right, I get to move my body more. Every little bit extra I do and I start increasing is going to help me get to my goal a little bit quicker. I'm going to be more energetic. I'm going to feel good. I'm going to look better. You know, and this goes with any sort of aspect of change that you want to go with. You've got to reframe it, because if you're stuck in the same mindset and where you're at right now, then how do you ever expect to get, like, because any sort of change you make, you're going to be resistant to because of that mindset. So I help people reframe things, and it's not like this like weird type of like, oh, I'm going to be great at everything type of a mindset. It's just like realistically looking at it from the opposite perspective. And it doesn't, like, as soon as you start doing it, you're like, yeah, all right, I do see the benefit of this. I do see that, you know, what I was doing before was hindering my progress and holding me back. So reframing doesn't have to be this, you know, gigantic, you know, fallacy in your head that everything is going to be 100% perfect. It's just trying to get you out of that holding back type of mentality to one that at least is open to progress.
Yeah, and I think also like out of the automated robot thing where we just do things because we've been doing them the same way forever, and that reminding, that reframing is almost like you're taking on an outside perspective. You're looking at yourself, at your habits from like a bird's eye view or a third point view, and you're like, oh, okay, this is what I've been doing. Interesting. Now I can change
Which
that.
is exactly the point of a coach, right? Because like, if you had the ability to get out of that and see it from a different perspective, you wouldn't be going to hire a coach to begin with. A coach is supposed to be that objective person for you, right? Like, yes, feelings and emotions and things are going to play a part of it, but like, a coach is not going to be like as emotionally invested in your progress as you are. And that's not, just think about it. I mean, who should be most invested in your progress? You. Who should be second? Your coach. But if your coach is more invested in your progress than you will never succeed, ever. Or if you do, it's not going to be sustainable. So.
Very good point. Well, I love the way that this conversation has gone down. My notes were more about like lowering body fat and increasing muscle mass, but this was even better because we have plenty of podcasts on the other two things. So thank you so much for your time, David. I'm gonna make sure to
And
drop
I'd be
all
more than
the
happy to
information.
come back on at some point and discuss
Oh,
all this.
amazing. Well,
I know
even better.
with me, I kind of tend to get off on tangents
Oh, I love
sometimes.
it. This was wonderful, honestly. So yeah, I will make sure to put all your handles in the show notes. And yeah, you're just doing wonderful work with Team BioLane. I love seeing all your guys's just the information and content that you put out there. So anyone listening definitely has to go and follow you.
Well, thank you so much for having me on. It was great to meet you. I appreciate the support, and any way I can try to support you in the future, please let me know. All right.
Thank you. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with David. Thank you so much for tuning in. Go and give us both a follow on Instagram or YouTube. One more thing before you go, if you are looking for premium supplements, our partner Fat Muscle Project has got you covered. Head to their website for the best protein powders, creatine, vitamin D, and more, and feel free to use our code NCL at the checkout. Thank you for listening, and don't forget, life is too short to be in a body you don't feel good in.